morning. Hey, how are you? How are you? Yeah, all right. Okay, today we're continuing our Word on series. Just a quick look at what we've done so far. We've covered the Word on God, evolution, humanity, warfare, media, prophecy, lifestyle, gifts, and what are we doing today? Today we're looking at suffering. So, I'm sure that you all have a story of some kind of suffering you've experienced in your life, but just kind of bring an experience of suffering that you've experienced in your life to mind, and don't go into great detail, but just say to the person next to you, if you want to, this is what happened to me. Okay, don't tell them the whole story now. But just by show of hands, who here has ever experienced suffering? Yeah? Put it high up. If you've ever experienced suffering, put your hand high up. If you have. Yeah? What? If you have. Right, so basically, that's everybody. Okay? So, we all have experienced suffering, and the reality is we all will experience suffering in future in our lives. So when we speak about suffering, it's not some kind of philosophical exercise. It's not just theory. It's practical for every one of us. It's deep-seated. It's personal. It's something we all struggle with. And that's what we're speaking about today, suffering. But let's pray before we do. Father God, as we come before you this morning to speak on suffering, we ask, God, that you'd speak to our hearts and speak to our minds, that you'd meet us where we're at, Father. That where there is suffering, where there is pain, Father, that you'd bring healing, that you'd bring breakthrough. So may you be the one who speaks today, Father, and may you speak clearly, and may you speak on the inspiration of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we all know what suffering is. We don't really need to explain what it is. But just very briefly, suffering is the experience of pain, distress, or hardship. It can be psychological, it can be physical, it can be emotional, or it can be spiritual. And oftentimes when we experience suffering, it's not just one of those things. We normally experience a combination of those things. And there are two types of suffering. The one kind is caused by human beings. We call that moral evil. So people steal, they kill, they make choices that harm and cause pain for other people. The other type of suffering caused by nature. Now, these are things like earthquakes, other natural disasters, disease, death. Suffering not caused by people, but suffering that we experience nonetheless. Right, so I'm sure you've all have asked yourself the following questions or versions of it. So if God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, and all-good, why does suffering exist? Why does God allow suffering to happen? And given that suffering does exist, is God actually all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, and all-good? Ever asked those questions? Ever heard them asked? So hopefully, these are some of the questions you'll have answered today. I'm going to play a video, and the video kind of deals with those questions.
Why do bad things happen? We live in a world full of hate, war, pain, and disease. And there's so much suffering in the world on a global scale. And personally, we've all experienced loss and hurt in some way or another. And we've all found ourselves asking God, why? And even people who don't believe in God ask him why when something bad happens. So, why do bad things happen? God gives mankind free will. He gives people the ability to choose. He doesn't want us to be mindless robots that only know how to do good. But unfortunately, this free will has been abused, and mankind has been the cause for many worldwide problems. We hear about poverty and starvation, and then blame God for not doing something about it. But actually, research tells us there's enough food on this planet to see every person fed in abundance. But also, there's enough money to see every person live a life of great wealth. It is a fact that there are more resources than we need, and yet we blame God for the bad stewardship of mankind. We also ask God, why is there war? And yet it's mankind who started wars, not God. Humanity makes a mess, creates tragedy, and then asks God why he let it happen. We want free will, to be able to reject God. Then we expect God to dictate our decisions and force everyone to do good. Also, it means if God exists, then Satan exists as well. We find it hard to imagine Satan being real. We see him as this fictional character, this big red man with a goatee. But when we see the evil in our world, it's not so hard to believe in the existence of Satan. The Bible says that Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan is the one who wants to bring pain and suffering into our lives, not God. You might be going through something right now that seems too much to bear. It's one of the greatest storms you've ever had to face. Let me tell you this, God did not send it your way. And in fact, he wants to help you. The ironic thing is, when something awful happens, we blame God and push him away, when actually, God is the very thing we need in that situation, the one who will comfort us and carry us through. Picture this. A little girl is running in the park. She falls over, scrapes her knee, and is bleeding. Her dad rushes over. He picks her up, wipes her wounds, and comforts her. Was the pain she felt her fault? No. Was it her dad's fault? No. In her pain and confusion, she doesn't point her finger at her dad and ask, "Why did you let this happen?" She understands that her dad loves her, that he wants to help her, that he wants to bring good into that situation. It's the same with us and God. Things happen.
So, God is sovereign, but God's also given us free will. And in the exercise of our free will, we make choices. And because of that, you know, there are certain consequences to it. So just because they're suffering, it doesn't mean that God is not all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, and all-good. In fact, God is all of those things. And as Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 29 says, "The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak." So we can know that, but still not be satisfied, right? So God might still be all of those things. And just because there is pain and suffering in the world doesn't mean that he's not good and loving. But then how do we understand suffering? How can we trust this all-powerful, all-loving God when we see the suffering around us and when we experience it for ourselves? So how do we explain this? So there's a storyline here, and that it kind of speaks to the story of the universe, but also the story of our lives. And it helps us to better understand why suffering exists. So the world is good. And you might hear that and think to yourself, actually, you see what happened in the news yesterday or today. The world's not really good. But when God made the world, it was perfectly good. At the end of creating the world, God looked at all he had done, and he said, "It is very good." And in his original design, there was no lack, there was no death, there was no disease. And we still, in our world, in our fallen world, we still experience that. We know in our hearts that the world is inherently good. And we see it when we experience the natural beauty of the world, or when we experience an act of love and kindness. And our heart stirs, and it says to us, you know, that's the way things should be. So what happened from the original design to what we have now? The world is fallen. Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. Yeah. So because of the rebellion of the original people, because they rebelled against God's authority, and God is both creator and the lawgiver, and because they disobeyed God's law and decided that they wanted to be God instead, yeah, they cursed, God cursed them, And because of that sin, it's been passed down from generation to generation. And because of that, the world is fallen. So it's human evil that mars the inherent goodness of the world. And the entire planet has been contaminated by the fall. But God is also redeeming the world. In Revelations, we read, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, where the first heaven and the first earth passed away. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." So God's intention is to redeem the world that He's created and to restore it to its original design. And in God's wisdom and God's sovereignty, He's chosen to be patient about it. He's chosen to not intervene in the way that we would expect in our suffering, in our pain. But He is at work, and He is redeeming the pain and the suffering we experience and using it to bring about His ultimate purpose. So the scale of suffering that we witness to experience doesn't change the underlying issues. Whether it's great suffering or small suffering, the fact is the world is good, the world is fallen, and God is redeeming the world. And when we understand that, we can understand why suffering exists. It doesn't make it any easier to deal with, but we have a framework that allows us to understand what God is up to in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our suffering.
My son has had severe epilepsy since he was born. For 15 years, he'd have 10 to 20 epileptic seizures every day. And our whole life was basically revolved around his disability. And yet I would pray for other friends who had sick children, and it seemed like their kids got better. But my son didn't.
The one moment that redefined this question for me was probably in 2004 with the tsunami that happened in Asia. And just the sheer devastation of a natural disaster just brought me to my knees, and where I was at the television saying, "God, seriously, why?"
The question, "How can God allow these bad things to happen?" I think it's a reality. It's a hard, hard question. In fact, maybe the hardest question.
God allows humankind to make their own choices, and ultimately they can lead to some magnificent things. I mean, you have a look at the extraordinary things that human beings have been able to accomplish in the freedom and autonomy that God has given us. But the downside or the dark side of this autonomy or this freedom is that we can just create the most vile and contemptible and cruel and vicious outcomes of being human.
A lot of what we see in the world, in my opinion, of what I've experienced, is, you know, you have generations of men, you know, women, father, mother, children. When they make the choice not to love, love God, love each other, you play that out, and there's a lot of pain that comes with it.
The suffering that comes from nature or earthquakes or hurricanes or things like that, I find harder to explain, and I guess you got to live with the mystery of it. I think the Christian answer is the best one. When you go out east into the Eastern religions, it doesn't make any sense of suffering at all. It's kind of like suck it up. It doesn't make any, it doesn't attempt to try and make sense of it or derive meaning. So the Buddhist answer, for instance, and I have great respect for Buddhism, the Buddhist answer says it's not real. Suffering has no reality. Well, you know, I think you tell that to a suffering person, and I don't think it makes sense to them. The Christian answer actually doesn't answer everything. Particularly when you're suffering, but it is the best one around, without a doubt.
About 5 years ago, I was pregnant, and I heard the words that no mother ever wants to hear: "Your child is not going to live." On April 7th, 2008, I delivered a little girl who was alive when she was born. Her name was Audrey Caroline, and she lived for 2.5 hours. We loved her a lifetime's worth, but short amount of time. watched her get her first bath and a little haircut. But later that night, when everyone was gone and it was just my husband and I alone with her, as time went on, we knew that we were going to have to call a nurse to come in and take her. I had to hand my daughter to someone and watch her be taken away from me, knowing that I wouldn't see her again this side of heaven. And as I lay in that hospital bed, and everything in me wanted to just bang on all the buttons and tell them to bring her back, I really called out to God in a way I never had before, and I just said, I can't do this, and I need you to just be here right now. I just need you to hold me. He did. I will tell you that in that moment, I saw a side of God that I've never experienced and have never forgotten since then. Just his faithfulness to one girl in a hospital room who was devastated. And that just really felt that he was there. Sorry.
When I talk to people about the stuff they've gone through, to be honest, for me, the best answer and the most appropriate response as a Christian, as a believer, is to cry too. To hold the hand and to weep too. And then to introduce them to someone who helps pull you out of a pit. And not in some weird, messed up, quick fix kind of a way. I get really annoyed when we Christians propose that as an answer, as like the quick inner box fix that changes everything. But there's a phrase, it's in one of the books of the Bible, which talks about, and it's this, it says, I know my Redeemer lives. And that part of the Bible is always won me, because it talks about this person who buys back all that's been lost through your own helplessness, through violence, through your own foolishness. And that's who I met. Someone who helped me over years and blood, sweat and tears bring back that what was lost.
We have seen God use our son's sickness in amazing ways, and people have found faith in Jesus through his life. And I guess maybe God does use some people and their disabilities and their struggles to help other people to find God. You know, I do think, like, if there really is a heaven, and if what is said about heaven from the words of Jesus is true, and that there my son will never be sick again, and someday I'll see him as this perfect body in this perfect form. And then Ryan looks at his life, and we all see the amount of people that have been influenced by his life. Am I going to argue with what God did? Probably not. I'll probably be thankful that he allowed our family, to struggle through. And yet, why does he just help other people? I don't know, but I'm glad he does. I'm glad he just helps. I'm glad that no matter what we see, apparently God has some plan for that.
We see that God actually comes to the planet. He actually lives among us so that he understands our suffering, our hurt, our pain. He understands it all. Then Jesus dies on the cross, and in the mystery of faith, all the junk of the world, all the junk that's in our hearts, all the junk that's in our relationships, all of that junk dies with him. So in the Christian worldview, God doesn't leave our world in the state that it is, but actually is seeking to heal it and bring us back.
We feel as though we're in this battle, and really what we need in the midst of that battle is a hero to step in for us. The hero, obviously, is God. I believe that God considers those who struggle with him to be heroes also. In fact, I would go so far as to say that those of his children who struggle against all of these terrible things that we see in the world are cheered on by the population of heaven, and if they should die in their struggle, I believe they get a hero's welcome when they meet him.
So how did God respond to our suffering? And we would prefer that God explains himself, that when we ask why, that he tells us exactly why. But even if he did that, it wouldn't take away the pain, it wouldn't take away the struggle. So instead of explaining our suffering, God has chosen to share it. He revealed himself by stepping into our reality. The Lord will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And God revealed himself not as distant or impersonal or uncaring, but he revealed himself as a father. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. In Psalm 56, it says, "You know how troubled I am. You have kept a record of my tears." And that's how God responds to our suffering. He sees every heartbreak, he sees every tear, and he's kept a record of it. And his ultimate response to our suffering was Jesus. Jesus, more than any one of us, knew what suffering is. He experienced more suffering than any of us ever will. Isaiah says this about Jesus: "He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised. And we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. The God who suffers with us did not strike some mighty blow of power against suffering, but he sent his son to suffer like us, to experience what we experience, and through him to redeem us from suffering and evil." And that's how God responded to our pain. And how should we respond? What do we learn from Jesus? 2 Corinthians 1 says, "Praise be to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." So God says to us to respond to our suffering by being comforted by him. And when we have gone through something, we're better able to help other people in their suffering, to provide comfort to them. But what I want to focus on this morning is being comforted by God. Jesus says in Matthew, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And when we experience suffering, we can respond to it either by blaming and turning against God and hardening our hearts and allowing disappointments to build up, making us bitter, making us resentful. Or we can respond by turning to God, by recognizing that he's responded to our suffering by identifying with it, by experiencing it for himself. So he knows exactly what it is that you and I go through, and more so. And he invites us to come to him, to cast our burdens on him, to cast on our anxiety upon him, because he cares for us. And so what I'd like for us to do now is just to allow God, to allow the Holy Spirit just to minister to our hearts. And so that suffering you thought about earlier, or maybe there's something else, whatever it might be, whatever has caused you pain, whatever has made you doubt God's love and God's care, I just bring it to him this morning. I just take time where you're sitting. If you want to move and find yourself a quiet spot, do that. But we're just going to take some time to allow God to minister to us. If you'd like one of the leaders to pray for you, just find them. They'll be around. And ask them to pray for you. But let's just allow time now for God to minister to us and to speak to our hearts and to speak into our pain and suffering. God carries our care very close to his heart. And the fact that we have, or are, or will experience suffering does not change the reality that God is all-powerful, all-loving, all-knowing, and all-good towards us. And instead of supernaturally removing our suffering, which is what we'd rather have God do, you know, take away the pain, take away the struggle, you know, you've got the power, you've got the ability to do that. Instead of doing that, God has chosen instead to supernaturally use our suffering to achieve His redemptive purposes, you know, for us and for others through us. And so remember that in the midst of your own suffering, and encourage other people with that in the midst of their suffering. You know, that God is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And in our joys, in our struggles, He is God with us. Yeah. Christianity is not a promise to enjoy life without suffering or to be given a shortcut through it. It is a promise that pain, sorrow, sin, both ours and that of others, will not swallow us, destroy us, define us, or have the final say. Jesus has won the victory, and in Him, so have we. So let the suffering that we experience be the door we walk through that draws us to deeper intimacy with Jesus. And He understands heartbreak. He understands betrayal. He understands abandonment. He understands what it means to be lonely, what it means to experience sorrow, what it means to experience pain. And He is acquainted with grief. Yeah. And we can find great comfort in the fact that He cares, and that He cares intimately for every one of us. Yeah. And let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You, God, that You are Emmanuel. You are God with us. Thank You, God, that You chose to respond to our pain and suffering by stepping into it, by absorbing it into Yourself, and that You know exactly, Father, our struggles, our pain, and our suffering. Thank You, God, that You are redeeming this world, this fallen world, where the evil one tries to steal, kill, and destroy. And thank You, God, that You are more powerful than He. You are all-powerful, God. And thank You, God, that in our pain, You offer to walk with us. And so I pray, God, this morning for each and every one of us here. And I ask, God, that we who'd know You as Emmanuel, as God with us, in the midst of our pain and in the midst of our suffering, I pray, God, that where our hearts are hardened, that it would be softened by Your grace and Your love. Where we have held on to pain that is not ours to bear, Father, give us grace to let it go. Give us grace to surrender it to You. Where we have been bitter towards You, God, melt that bitterness with Your love. Remind us this morning, Father, of how great Your love is, of how much You care for us. And in the midst of our pain, Father, walk with us. We give our burdens to You so that we don't have to carry them, God. We ask instead that You would carry them, that You would give us grace to be comforted by You and also to comfort others in their struggle and in their suffering. Redeem our suffering, God. Thank You, Father, that You will use all things, both good and bad, to achieve Your purposes. And although we might not understand why it is we suffer, why bad things happen, we can trust that You are good, and that You are in control, and that You will use the bad things that happen to achieve Your purposes for us and through us, God. And Your purposes are good. Your plan is good, and You will achieve it. So we give You praise and honor, Father, and we thank You that You are with us always in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Next week, we have special guest speaker. Would you like to know who it is? Or is it still the same person? I think I shouldn't tell you, and you should just come next week and be surprised. No? Okay, fine. Pastor Siviwe will be with us next week, and he will be speaking on the topic of miracles, which is our final Sunday for this term. So that promises to be quite exciting, and I'm sure you'll have something really powerful to share with us. So I hope you've been encouraged by the word on suffering this morning, and remember that God is with you, for you, and that he goes before you. Have a blessed Sunday. Have a blessed week.